Thank you so much, Dom. Good morning, everyone. God bless you. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to Psalm 84, and we're going to talk for a few minutes about jumping into God's family. Appreciate Dom sharing that announcement. Dom is a member of our deacon board, and he's also one of the co-chairs of the Jump In campaign. So thank you for just celebrating with us, praying with us at the halfway mark. Psalm 84, while you find your way there real quickly, this weekend we are celebrating our friends Pastor Jason and Afia Grigori, who have been helping us with worship for the last year. Pastor Jason Grigori came and served us while Pastor Jason Joseph was away in Malaysia while we were working on his new visa. And this is Pastor Jason Grigori's last regular weekend leading worship with us here at our Greenwich campus. We are thrilled to share with you that he and Afia have agreed to remain part of our Harvest Time family, and they're going to go up to Stanford, and they're going to be leading worship every week at our Stanford campus, and they're going to be coming back. We're going to bring them back to Greenwich as often as we can, and so they'll be back with us leading here on our main campus, our home campus, and they'll be leading every week up in Stanford, and we really want to just bless them today. They're expecting their first baby. A little girl is on the way. She's set to arrive towards the end of the summer. And so this weekend, we're just taking an opportunity to bless Pastor Jason and Afia. And there's a little card in your bulletin. There are some baskets in the back of the sanctuary on the table in the far back corner and out in the main lobby. And maybe if you have appreciated Pastor Jason's worship over this last year and what a great blessing they've been to us, maybe you'd like to take a moment and just let them know, write a little note to them, and just put something in there for the baby. And just bless Pastor Jason and Afia this weekend. All right, look with me in Psalm 84, and let's talk about jumping into God's family. Jumping into God's family. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my God and King. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools of blessing. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor, and no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. That's a good word right there. Lord God Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Let's just quickly give thanks. Father, thanks for this morning. Thank you for the people that you love so much. Thank you for your presence here. I pray that we would encounter you through the ministry of your word this morning. If your heart agrees with that, would you just say amen and amen? I don't know about you, but there are just some times when I really need to hear a fresh word from the Lord about the path that I'm on. I mean, I know that I'm headed towards the right destination. I know that I'm moving in the right direction, but I just want to hear his reassuring voice. It's like when you're on a long road trip and your GPS is guiding you along the way, and you know you've put the right destination into the GPS. You know you're traveling on the right road in the right direction, but maybe you haven't heard from the GPS in a while. And you know that there are some interchanges coming up, and you just want to hear something that reassures you that you're still on the right course. When we first launched this Jump In campaign in 2013, I asked the Lord for a fresh word about our new building. And I stumbled across a Facebook post from one of our college students who knew that the Lord could speak through Facebook. She quoted in her post a couple lines from Psalm 84, and then she wrote these words, "His house is my home." You know, I love that. That is so good. I feel the same way about God's house and God's family. One of David's worship leaders felt the same way too, and that's why he wrote these words in Psalm 84. Truthfully, over the last few decades, our theology of the church has slipped. Our theology of the local church, the value, the importance of the local church has slipped. Our theology of Sunday worship services, our theology even of church buildings has slipped a little bit. You know, the New Testament words for church actually mean the family of God and their Sunday gatherings and the buildings in which they meet. So if someone says to you, well, the church isn't a building, you know, you can say to them, wrong-o. Because it's true the church isn't only a building, but it is 110% biblical to call the Sunday meetings of God's family and the building in which they meet the church. Church buildings are important. They're not neutral. In fact, they're sacred places because of the atmosphere of heaven that abides here, because of what we do here. Way back in 1998, when we started to design phase one and phase two, we traveled all over Connecticut and New York and New Jersey looking at church buildings and meeting with pastors. One of the most profitable days that I have ever spent was with Pastor Manzer Wright, the old pastor from First Assembly in Brookfield, Connecticut. He planted so many good seeds in my heart that day. But I'll never forget when he turned to me and he said, "Glenn, people need a home for their souls." And he said, "The church sanctuary is the home for their souls." That word from Pastor Manzer is why we decided to make this sanctuary, and especially phase two, full of light. It's why we wanted to build something more than just a big dark warehouse. We wanted to build something beautiful, a restful place that people could just come and sit in God's presence anytime. His house is our home. The church is where we come to worship God. David said, "I will praise you in the presence of your people. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing." The church is where we bring our offerings to God. It's God's storehouse where we bring our tithe to honor him and to secure his blessing over our finances. The church is where we serve God by serving one another. Jesus said that the acts of service that we do for each other, we do directly for him. The church is where we pray in unique authority. Listen, I want to tell you, your personal prayer life is important. You need to have your own personal place of prayer, but prayers at the church are uniquely powerful because they are prayed in agreement with other believers. Because they are prayed in the corporate authority that abides in the body. Because they're prayed in a place that has an open heaven over it. They're prayed in a place with a spiritually clean atmosphere. They're prayed in a place where there is angelic assistance. The church is where we do life together as a family. It's where we fellowship. It's where we make friends for life. It's where we grow as followers of Christ. It's where we study and discuss the word and help each other apply the word to our own situations. It's where we get encouraged when we're under the weight of the world. It's where we receive prayer from other believers. His house is our home.
Beloved, I want to tell you, this is no ordinary building. It's no ordinary place. This is no ordinary gathering of people. The church is unlike any other organization on earth. It's unlike any other club. It is unlike any other community. It is unlike any other institution. The church is the unique product of the finished work of the cross of Christ, and it has been supernaturally birthed by the Holy Spirit. There is nothing else on earth like the church. Looking at Psalm 84, I see five things that are found in here in Father's house that can't be found anywhere else on earth. And I want to share them with you very quickly. Five things that are found in here that can't be found anywhere else on earth. The first thing is beauty. Beauty. The psalmist said, "How lovely are your dwelling places." In Father's house, there is a beauty that cannot be found anywhere else on earth, like the beauty of worship. You know, there's nothing like the worship of Spirit-filled people. I'll never forget the first time I ever heard it as an 8-year-old boy. I said to myself, this must be what heaven sounds like because it is so joyful. Last summer, I was in Indonesia staying at the Prayer Mountain in Indonesia, and I was awakened my first morning there just before dawn by the Muslim call to prayer. Have you ever heard the Muslim call to prayer? It's horrible. It's just this awful, really terrible, oppressive sound that I was laying there in the dark just listening to this awful droning. And then just as the sun came up, I heard a trumpet. And then I heard singing from the people who were gathered at Prayer Mountain. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our songs will rise to you. And my heart was just overflowing. There is nothing else on earth like worship. There is nothing else on earth that brings the same results. Spirit-filled worship is an otherworldly activity. When we worship, we actually ascend into the heavenly realms. We are actually lifted into the atmosphere of God's habitation. We actually join the chorus of saints and angels, the book of Hebrews tells us. And Spirit-filled worship produces a beautiful response in your spirit. It produces joy. It produces gratitude. It produces hopefulness. It produces holy anticipation. In Father's house, there is a beauty that can't be found anywhere else, like the beauty of His presence. You know, God might choose to manifest His presence anywhere, but there's a dimension of His presence that comes only when His family is gathered together. The Bible says that He is enthroned upon the praises of His people. When we gather for worship, we are lifted into the very throne room of heaven. We're lifted into the sphere of His authority, where whatever He says goes. We're lifted high above demonic powers and principalities. Oppression cannot stay in that atmosphere. Anxiety cannot stay in that atmosphere. Sickness cannot stay in that atmosphere. His presence produces a beautiful response in your spirit. It produces awe and reverence for God. It produces deeper love for Jesus and for others. It produces at the same time a sense of finiteness and a sense of significance. You know, I love moments in His presence right here in this sanctuary. That's what I live for. They're the most precious moments of my life. My favorite times are the evenings when we have time to just soak in worship and soak in His presence. We have a fire in the night that's coming up in just a few weeks where we're going to start at 6 o'clock on Friday evening and go right through to 6 o'clock on Saturday morning, just enjoying the beautiful presence of the Lord. In Father's house, there's a beauty that can't be found anywhere else, like the beauty of redeemed lives. Pastor Nick has a little saying from Psalm 33, verse 1. Praise looks good on you. And you know, it's true. Praise is beautiful on the upright. You look a little better when you're worshiping. There's something about the countenances of people whose sins have been forgiven. There's something beautiful about people who have been washed and have been set free. There's something beautiful about the countenances of people who are thankful. There's something beautiful about people who are humble. There's something beautiful about people who are in love with Jesus. There's something beautiful when we all come together on Sunday morning, and in spite of the struggles of the previous week, in spite of the setbacks, in spite of our slip-ups, in spite of our sins, we begin to worship God, and it becomes something honoring and pleasing and holy to the Lord. Five things that are found in here that can't be found anywhere else on earth. Second is security. How lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord Almighty. Don't forget whose house this is. It belongs to the Lord Almighty. The Hebrew title is Lord Sabaoth, the commander of the angelic armies of heaven. I want to tell you that this place is not only a beautiful place, it is also a safe place. It is a garrison of angelic warriors. In Father's house, there's a sense of security that is imparted to your spirit. You feel protected. You feel watched over. You are filled with confidence that God has your back and that your battle belongs to Him. It's so much more than just warm fuzzies. It's so much more than just a feel-good moment. It is holy encouragement that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it ministers lasting strength to your innermost being. Five things found in here that can't be found anywhere else on earth. Number three is satisfaction. How lovely are thy dwelling places, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for your courts. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. In Father's house, the deepest longings of your soul are satisfied. Jesus met a thirsty woman at a well one day. Her life was a revolving door of broken relationships. Now she was in another relationship, living with a man with no security. She was ashamed. She had lots of questions for God. Inwardly, she was thirsty. But Jesus said to her, "Ask me, and I will give you living water, and you will never be thirsty again." That thirst-quenching river of His presence is found right here in Father's house. It's found where God's holy people are gathered together. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be afraid. A while ago, I was praying with our campaign team, and the Holy Spirit gave me a word for our congregation from Psalm 147, verse 14. I will give you peace within your borders, and I will fill you to satisfaction with the finest of flour. You know, I believe that's what God wants to do among us corporately. I believe He wants to give us peace in our church family and satisfaction and the best of provision. And our pastors and our intercessors and our campaign team, we're praying those things over you and over your family. Peace in your home, the best of provision and satisfaction. Five things found in here that can't be found anywhere else on earth. Number four is significance. You doing all right this morning? Get you anything, a little cold drink, something? You doing okay? Number four is significance. Even the sparrow has found a home. A place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my God and my King. Two radically opposite things are juxtaposed here. A sparrow, the smallest and most vulnerable of all birds, and the mighty captain of the angelic hosts. And yet this tiny little bird is at home in the presence of the God of heaven. This tiny little bird is at ease in the presence of the King of the universe. In Father's house, significance is imparted to your spirit as you experience the love of a great big God. Vulnerable people feel valued by God in here. defenseless people feel doted on by God in here. Under-resourced people feel undergirded by God in here. You know, Jesus used sparrows in a comparison too. He said, look at the sparrows. Two of them are worth just a penny, and yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father noticing. And even the very number of hairs on your head is numbered by God. So don't be afraid, because you are worth much more to God than many sparrows. In Father's house, you'll become blown away by the sudden awareness that the King of the universe knows your name, that he has your number, that his eyes are fixed upon you, that his heart is set upon you. You'll have a new sense of importance rooted in the confidence that you are important to him. Five things that are found in here that can't be found anywhere else on earth. Number five is stability. Stability. The swallow has found a nest for herself, a place where she may have her young. The Hebrew word there for swallow means a flitting bird. This particular bird was notorious for being very nervous, very jittery, never able to sit still. And unless this bird could find a place to nest, it couldn't reproduce. But in the presence of the Creator, this little bird is able to nest and to rest. You know, many people are like nervous birds too. They flit and flutter through life from one thing to the next. They flit from one romantic relationship to another, from one friendship to another, from one job to another, from one self-improvement kick to another, from one religion to another. But in Father's house, you're able to become stable so that you can become fruitful. In his presence, your emotions become stable. In his presence, your thinking becomes clear. In his presence, your judgment becomes sound. In his presence, your decision-making becomes solid. In Father's house, you receive a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Jesus said, "Come to me, and you shall find rest for your soul." Five things found in here that can't be found anywhere else on earth: beauty, security, satisfaction, and stability and significance. Now, those five things that are found in here do four things for you out there. You didn't think you were getting off that easy, did you? You didn't think, you were wondering why the worship team wasn't coming. Come on, you know me better than that. The five things found in here do four things for you out there. I want to tell you about them quickly. First of all, they give you strength for the journey out there. Blessed are those whose strength is in thee, who have the pilgrim's path in their heart. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of blessing. They grow from strength to strength until they appear before you. What you find here in Father's house on Sunday gives you strength for Monday. It gives you strength for Tuesday. It gives you strength for hump day. It gives you strength for Thursday. It gives you strength for TGI Friday. What you find here in Father's house gives you strength to walk through the desert. It gives you strength to walk through the sorrowful seasons. It gives you strength to walk through the valley of Baca. That means the valley of weeping. But God gives you strength to turn weeping into blessing. And here's how you know this strength is supernatural. If all you received in here was an emotional boost, you'd be running low by the middle of the week, and by the end of the week, you'd be running on empty, and you'd barely be alive by Sunday to come in and get your next boost. But this kind of strength that God gives just keeps getting stronger and stronger. On Monday, you start out the week an overcomer. On Tuesday, you're more than a conqueror. On Wednesday, you are mighty in the land and doing great exploits. By Thursday, you can run through a troop and leap over a wall. By Friday, the enemy will come at you one way, and you'll send him running away from you in seven different directions. You don't have to worry about falling into temptation on Friday night. You don't have to worry about compromising. You don't have to worry about blowing your testimony, because you are strong in the Lord and in his mighty strength. And then you come back into God's presence in Father's house. And the next week you're even stronger. The next week you're even more secure. The next week you're even more satisfied. The next week you feel even more significant. The next week you're even more stable. Your emotions are steadier. Your thoughts are clearer. Your judgments are sounder. Your decisions are more solid. And the next week you're even stronger. And the next week you're even stronger. Five things found in here do four things for you out there. Second, they shield you from Absalom's onslaught out there. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. The Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. Psalm 84 was written on the occasion when David was running for his life from his own son, Absalom. David left Jerusalem and headed for the hills. And what he longed for wasn't his king-size bed. What he longed for was God's house. David is the shield. David is the anointed one that is talked about here. This is a prayer for his protection. The worship leader is saying, God, shield our shield. Shield the king. And God did. And what you find in Father's house will shield you from the Absaloms out there too. Beloved, can I tell you that Absaloms are inevitable in life? Someone will make plays behind your back. Someone will kiss up to people and try to make you look bad. Someone will try to usurp you and take what God has apportioned to you. Someone will repay your kindness with conspiracy. Sometimes it's someone that you love like a son. But the security and the satisfaction and the significance and the stability that you found in Father's house will keep you confident and compassionate. Absalom might do some short-term damage, but we will prevail against him. The Lord God is a blazing shield. He gives strength and glory. Blessed is the man who trusts in thee, Lord Sabaoth. Amen. The five things that you find in here will do four things for you out there. Number three, they'll supply you with everything you need for success out there. The Lord bestows favor and honor, and I love this, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Beloved, God is the one who can supply you with everything you need to succeed out there. Everything you need to succeed in friendships. Everything that you need to succeed in love relationships, what you need to succeed in your marriage, what you need to succeed in your parenting, what you need to succeed in your career, in your business, in your finances, in your health. Peter said his divine power supplies us with everything we need for life and godliness. Listen, what you get in here isn't just for the religious compartment of your life. What you get in here is for all of your life. And Paul told us how that supply comes. It flows down from the head, Jesus, to the members of his body, the church. That's why Paul said in Colossians 2, don't disconnect. Don't disconnect from the church, because Jesus makes this supply of everything you need while you're connected to him in the body, in the church. The five things found in here give you four things out there. Finally, the things you find in here spoil you for life out there. Worship team, you can come and help me now. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to live sumptuously in the tents of the wicked. Can I tell you very honestly, I cannot imagine life without the beauty of God's house. I can't imagine life without the beauty of the saints gathered together for worship. I can't imagine life without the hope of saints gathered together for prayer. I can't imagine life without the sustaining power of the ministry of the word. I can't imagine life without the guidance of prophetic ministry. I can't imagine life without the joy of believers fellowshipping together. How lovely are your dwelling places. My soul longs for the courts of the Lord. I have to tell you the truth, I'm wrecked. I am ruined for life. I've been this way since I was 8 years old, and the Greenwich outpouring really only made it worse. I love to be where people are worshiping the Lord. I love to be where musicians are prophesying on their instruments and singers are lifting their voices. I love to be where people are standing with their hearts lifted up to God and their hands lifted up to God. I love to be where people are waving flags and dancers are dancing dances before the Lord. I love to be where spontaneous shouts of joy come out of people's spirits. They can't even help themselves. I love it when the quiet ones, when the reserved ones, I love it when they just get their Pentecost on because they can't help it. They're just so full of love for Christ. I love to be where the spirit of prophecy testifies about Jesus. I live for that. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. His house is our home. It's where we find rest for our souls. And you know, that's why we need phase two. When we talk about a new church building, some people have some mixed reactions. Some people don't really understand why we need to spend so much money. Why can't we just make do? Some people worry about what life will be like in a bigger building. Sometimes people ask me, Pastor Glenn, will our church be the same in the new building? And I say, no, won't be the same. It'll be much better. See, our family has outgrown this home. And when the house is too small for the family, life is just a little uncomfortable. When the house is too small for the family, the atmosphere isn't as peaceful as it needs to be. Can I tell you, things are stressful enough out there. There's enough road rage going on out there. We don't need road rage in the church parking lot. We need to be able to come and be at peace. When the house is too small for the family, mealtime isn't quite enjoyable. Not everyone can see well. Not everyone can hear well. It's hard to concentrate when the room is overly full. Sometimes I know in this service, the air conditioning is too cold. But the reason it's so cold is because we do one service right after the next. And if the room gets warmed up, we can't cool it down for the next two services. When the house is too small for the family, it distracts from unity. Can't get everybody into this living room. Can't get everybody into this driveway. When the house is too small for the family, it makes everybody work harder to make things run smoothly. You know, the fact that we do four worship services, it makes more work for all of us. For me, for all of our pastors, for our worship team and the tech team and the ushers and the greeters and the children's ministry team all the way around, we all work a little harder because the house is too small. When the house is too small for the family, intimacy isn't so easy. And you parents know what I mean. It's a little counterintuitive, I know, but a bigger building is actually going to help us to be a closer-knit congregation. Right now, there's just no time to linger and visit with people after service. There's no place to stand. There's no place to sit. If you notice that someone looked like they weren't doing well, where would you pull them into a quiet corner and ask them, is everything okay? I loved it on Easter Sunday when we were down the road at the Performing Arts Center. When I came out into the lobby an hour after the service was over, everybody was just out in the lobby talking because we had a place to stand. Phase two will do that for us. Our poor intercessors, they've been consigned to pray in every nook and cranny of this building. They've had prayer meetings in closets. They've had prayer meetings in the boiler room. They've had prayer meetings out on the playground when the weather's good. They need a place to pray. We have a vision for growth, and we will grow. But really, we need phase two right now, just to keep our family at peace and well-fed and unified and efficient and intimate. Phase two is about God's family. His house is our home. Recently, we sat down with one of our friends who grew up here at Harvest Time. She spent some time away from home, and she came back to us last year. And I want you to watch the screen and listen to what happened when she came home to Father's house. Take a look at her testimony.
My life up to this point has been a series of events that have led to basically my self-destruction. And I was really at a low point in my life where I felt like I was empty spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And I needed something. I didn't know what it was at the time. And that thing became Jesus.
My name is Ashley Vespi. I'm 28 years old, and I've been coming to Harvest Time for 8 months now. Up until the time I came to Harvest Time, I had been using drugs. I'd been pretty much living on self-will, and I was very unhappy. I was depressed. I just felt so lifeless. You know, death was an option at one point because I just wasn't happy. And it wasn't until I came to Harvest Time and was involved in Pathways and came every Sunday to church that I realized that God does love me. Because I was using drugs and alcohol to fill a void, I always had this emptiness inside of me, and I never really knew. I was always taking outside things to fill the void with either men or material things or drugs and alcohol, and nothing ever filled it. It was never enough. And I was constantly seeking more and more. And then when I came to find Christ, it was like that. He filled every void I had inside of me. And now I finally realize that's what I was looking for the whole time. I was just constantly seeking. I could never find it. But now I feel like I've found it. My mom, she's come here for so many years. And I've always watched her and just admired her faith and her confidence in God. And I didn't understand it at the time. But now that I'm becoming a Christian and learning about my faith and about the Word of God, like, it's completely opened my eyes to seeing that she's how much in love she is in Christ. And she's prayed for me throughout the years, and I don't doubt for a second that it was through her prayers and her faith and her trust in God that it's gotten me through what I've gotten through, because I really feel like her prayers are what kept me alive over the years. Coming to church every week, and learning about the Bible, reading about the Word, it's really filled my life so much with, like, confidence. I never had self-confidence or self-esteem. I feel like this love inside of me that I've never felt before. And I was always so sad and angry, and I was blaming everybody around me. But when I found Christ, He's giving me that hope. Because of what I've been through, other people have reached out to me when they're in need, or if they're daughters or sons have had a drug problem, and I've been able to reach out to them and help them and give them some guidance. And that's been the biggest blessing overall, because just by helping them, it helps me. I just encourage anybody who comes here to jump in, because it will change your life, and it's changed my life. And I'm so grateful that I've gotten another chance at life. God is so good, and He works through me every day, and I'm just so excited to see what comes next in my life.
Come on, stand to your feet if you would. And let's give the Lord a great big praise in this place. Come on, give the Lord one more offering of praise, would you? God bless you.